I want you to open your Bible this evening in the book of Genesis chapter 22, 22nd chapter of the book of Genesis. We commence reading at the verse number 1 of this passage of God's infallible truth. That's Genesis chapter 22 and commencing to read at the verse number 1. Let's follow the reading of God's precious word this evening. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abram, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And Abram rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went unto the place which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abram lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abram said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abram took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and the knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abram his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abram said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abram built an altar there and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abram stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. The angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abram lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abram went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abram called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Amen. And we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his infallible truth. Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Eternal God and loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy precious word this evening. And I pray that by thy Holy Spirit that thou wilt, Lord, enlighten us, our God, even as we study thy word. We pray that by thy Spirit that thou wilt, Lord, just enlighten our understanding, that we might know what thou art saying to us here, what thou art speaking to us of. We thank thee, our God, our Heavenly Father, for an amazing story, which is so true and yet so amazing. And yet, our God, our Heavenly Father, realized just what it must have meant for that father and son to walk up that mountain face that day. And our God, walk in obedience to thee, Abram knowing in his heart what thou, the Lord, had told him to do. Father, I pray that thou wilt help us to be willing to go through with thee, no matter what the cost is. And Lord, we think of the words that we often sing, Go through with God, thy vows to pay. Thy life upon the altar lay, the Holy Ghost will do the rest and bring to thee God's very best. The price is high, severe the test for those that would enjoy God's best. Surrender all and take that road with those that will go through with God. Father, I pray that we will go through with thee tonight, and that our God will lay all on the altar for thee. And our God, our Heavenly Father, that thou wilt be pleased with the offering that is made this evening of our hearts. Young man, give me thine heart. That's what thou dost say. That's what thou dost demand. And I pray in Jesus' name that many hearts will be given to thee this night. We pray in Jesus' name and for his glory and for his sake. Amen. At 11:30 a.m. on May the 29th, 1953, Sir Edmund Hillary achieved fame because he hoisted the British flag on top of Mount Everest and became the first human being ever to climb to the top of the world. It was a climax of many arrangements and many plans which were made for months. The right men had been chosen to join him on the journey. The right equipment had been bought and was brought for that journey as well. Many hours had been spent in the training of those men that would make their way on that very dangerous journey. As they climbed that mountain, they were heavily burdened. They were fraught with danger and at times discouragement. Death and disaster lurked in every crevice. But they kept on going, and they forced their way to the summit of Mount Everest. Their time and their strength was running out, but finally they gained the summit, 29,000 feet above sea level. Sir Edmund Hillary is remembered for that tremendous achievement. But I want us to come to another mountain. It's not Mount Everest, but I want us to come to the Mount Moriah, recorded in Genesis chapter 22. The story is not about Edmund Hillary. The story is about a man called Abraham. And he faced his mountain, Mount Moriah. This mountain, you see, represented the highest possible pinnacle of surrender that was ever demanded, and indeed the highest possible sacrifice that any man could be ever requested to make. And I want us to think about this man and that mount, his mount, Mount Moriah. Now, Abraham was not originally called that. He was called Abram. Abram simply meant just a simple word, rather than being Abraham, meaning the father of a multitude. Abram meant exalted. And yet, isn't it wonderful? He was called Abraham. God gave him, at the age of 75, a new name. Abraham, father of a multitude. And yet, at that time, he had no children. He had no offspring at the time when God promised him. And God gave him a new name, father of the faithful. Now, of course, when God called him originally in Genesis chapter 12, God promised him that he would make him indeed of him many nations, and in him the nations of the earth would be blessed. In Genesis chapter 15, God promised to make his seed as the stars of heaven. Do you know what the Bible says? In Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, it says, he believed in the Lord. In other words, he believed God. Even though that there was not a child given to him at that time, yet he believed God. Now, Abram had a son called Ishmael. It's recorded in Genesis chapter 16. He was 86 at the time when God gave him that son by Hagar, and he was called Ishmael, but he was not the covenant son. It wasn't until Abraham was 99 years of age that God spoke to him again. And God told Abraham that he would multiply him exceedingly. Genesis chapter 17, verse 2. And make him the father of many nations. And then God told him that Sarah would have a son. And that God would establish his covenant with him, with Abraham, through Isaac. When Abraham heard that, the Bible says that he laughed. Because Sarah was in her 90th year, and he was in his 100th year. And you can understand why that Abraham would laugh. Shortly after this, the Lord, accompanied by two angels, appeared unto Abraham in the plains of Mamre. And once again, he delivered another message to him. Chapter 18, and in the verse number 10, he said this, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. Now Abram and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also. And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child when I am old? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Now, Sarah denied that she laughed at all, but God knew that she had laughed. Next, in fact, you'll find that there was a difference in those two laughters. Because in actual fact, Abram's laugh was a laugh of worship. The laugh of Sarah was a laugh of unbelief. She did not believe that God could do that. My Abram was delighted that God was going to give him a son, even though he was old. But notice, it would be at the appointed time, verse 14 of chapter 18, at the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. And so we find that in actual fact, at the appointed time, that happened. And in chapter 21, we read about the story, and the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abram his son in his old age, and in her old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And so we find here that God has fulfilled his promise. Now remember this, Sarah was in her 90th year, she was 90 and her husband was in his 100th year when God fulfilled this promise. But God had given him this promise away back there, away back whenever Abram was 75. God told him that in him and in his seed would all the nations of the earth be blessed. Abram believed God. He waited on God. And as I look at the story there in the history of Abram, I see different lessons along the way, friend. Notice, God was not in a hurry to fulfill his plans, but they were always right on time. The plan of God would be fulfilled right at time. And maybe there's someone here tonight and you've been tested in your life and tried because you've been praying about something and God has burdened you about something, but it is not fulfilled yet. Your prayer has not been answered as yet. And as I said this morning, just be like Elijah there on that mount. Listen, my friend, look to God for that token for good, but believe God that God is going to do it because God cannot lie. God will fulfill his promise. And so whilst it is true that God is not hurried by you and me, friend, because one day or 1,000 years are as one day with God. And so therefore God is not in a hurry in fulfilling his plan, but his plan will always be fulfilled right on time. What did the psalmist said? I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. You look at the people in the scriptures, friend, that instead of waiting on God, they thought they should take it into their own hands, and what a mess they made of it. My friend, let me tell you, I waited patiently for the Lord, and God will fulfill his plan. It's another lesson along the way that I learn is this. That my friend, no matter what the obstacle is, nothing will be able to thwart the outworking of God's purposes. Nothing. And I don't care how big the devil and the powers of hell will be that will be against the people of God, nothing will be able to thwart the outworking of the purpose of God. It shall be fulfilled as God says it. And the gates of hell shall not prevail. Thank God they'll not be able to stop the eternal purposes of God. And even though Abram and Sarah laughed, friend, God remained faithful. We have a faithful God. And so therefore, I'm encouraging you tonight, as I did this morning, I'm encouraging you to wait upon the Lord, because let me tell you this, God gave his promised seed, and the Lord visited Sarah, yes, at the right time, in accordance to the time that God has said, as it was fulfilled. Now, we haven't time tonight to look at the similarities between Isaac and the Lord Jesus, but I just want to mention these just in passing. Isaac was the promised seed and son. And so was the Lord Jesus. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14 tells us about that. A virgin shall be with child. Isaac's birth was announced, and his mother asked a question. She asked a question in Genesis 18 and verse number 13. She said, shall I of a surety bear a child when I'm old? After she laughed in disbelief. And she got the answer, is there anything too hard for the Lord? She couldn't understand how this would happen. And you remember whenever Mary was told, whenever the angel visited Mary and announced to Mary in Luke's Gospel chapter 1, and whenever Mary was told that she would bear a child, she couldn't understand. She said, but how shall this be? How shall this be, seeing that I know not a man? You see, humanly speaking, we're looking at it in human terms. And she got her answer too. With God, nothing shall be impossible. You see, my friend, here we see Sarah, the answer came. To Mary, the answer came. That there's nothing too hard for the Lord. But I want us to come to this chapter now, because Abram has his child in chapter 22. And so is Sarah. They have got this child, the child of promise. Now let's look at the first verse. It says, it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. Now notice the word tempt. Now that does not mean, my friend, that does not mean that God was tempting him to do something that was evil. It was a trial. It was a test of Abram's faith. And let me tell you, that's what God does with us. You see, he was to be the father of the faithful. And he was faced with a trial of his faith. I ask you to read the story in your own time, the story of Abraham. And you will find that as you read that story, friend, God was preparing him along the way. God was coaching him patiently in the school of faith. And God was giving him little tests along the way until the great examination day came. And what a day it was, recorded in chapter 22 of the book of Genesis. But friend, you too will be tested. Your faith will be tested. And I say this, a faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. God is not tempting him to do something evil. God is testing him about something that is very precious. He's testing him concerning his love. And there's some things I want us to notice in this passage of God's Word very quickly tonight. First of all, the unsparing challenge here. Notice what he said, Abram, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. That time he didn't tell which mount it was. It was the land of Moriah. Now, friend, let me tell you, don't underestimate what that request really meant. Take now thy son. Thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. There is no doubt that Abram loved his son dearly, for the Holy Ghost records it. It says, God says, Abram, thy son Isaac, whom thou lovest. But friend, let me tell you this. Not only did Abram love his son, but he loved the Lord. And it was that love that was going to be tested through his son. And the question I ask you tonight is this, child of God, how much do you really love the Lord? How much do you love him? Do you love the Lord whenever everything's going fine? Do you love the Lord whenever the Lord's giving you bountifully? Do you love the Lord, my friend, when everything is rosy in the garden? Do you love the Lord whenever the flowers are blooming and my, the beauty of the aroma of the flowers are pervading the air? Do you love the Lord in those days? Or do you honestly say, Lord, I love you all the time? You see, friend, his love was going to be tested. And I tell you, your love for the Lord will be tested too. How much you really love the Lord. What are you willing, my friend, to go through with God for? And God was calling upon, the Bible says, that he was testing Abraham. And he was calling upon Abram to prove the depths of his love for God. Even the death of his son. even the devil's son. He was going to have to prove the love for God. Now, friend, you say to me, that was an awful test. Let me tell you what Jesus says. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, verse 37. It says, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me." Are you willing, my friend, tonight to bear that cross, even it mean the loss of the most precious thing you have, or the most precious one you have? You see, the Lord was putting him to a test. I want you to notice, friend, God never tested Lot. You know that. God never tested Lot, and I'll tell you why, simply. God didn't need to test Lot because he knew exactly who Lot was. He knew that Lot was worldly. He knew that Lot was carnal. He knew that Lot was shallow. That there was nothing to Lot. He didn't have to test him because he knew just exactly who Lot really was. He didn't need to be tested to prove that he was worldly or carnal. He was that all the time. But God did test Abraham, because Abraham was the friend of God. And my friend, here is someone who is the friend of God, and God puts the one that he loves to the test, and he's proving, "How much do you love me, Abraham? How much do you love me?" Oh, it's easy to say. It's easy to sing the hymn, "My Jesus, I love thee, I know thou'rt mine. For thee all the pleasure of sin I resign." And friend, the first thing that God asks you to give up, you say, "Not that, Lord. Not that. Not that." Then, friend, to be honest, you're singing a lie. You're singing a lie. You're not really meaning it at all. And God put this man to the test, and it was an unsparing challenge. But I'm going to tell you something. Real faith is tested, but God proves that he can look after his children in the test and bring glory to his name. And God will prove that he can bring you through, for he says, "My grace is sufficient for thee." I'm not trying to underestimate them this in any fashion, friend, because listen, I have a father's heart. And let's be honest. A parent wouldn't be a parent if they didn't love their children. And when they put your hand on your child, that hurts you. And if you don't love your children that way, my friend, there's something wrong with your parenthood. There's something wrong with you. You don't love them as a parent should. And I have no doubt whatsoever that Abram's heart was breaking here. He loved this boy. Listen, all the promises that God had given to Abraham, all the promises were built and my surrounded this child. All the promises and the hopes for the future were in this boy. And yet, isn't it amazing? I do not read in that story anywhere where Abraham, when God asked him to do that, I do not read where Abram reasoned with God why he shouldn't do it. And I do not read that he consulted with others how he could get out of it. I do not. Because the Bible tells me in Romans chapter 4 that the secret of Abram was this: he believed God and he staggered not through unbelief. He believed in God no matter what it meant. You say to me, did Abram fully understand what God was putting him through? Did he fully understand why God was doing this? I don't believe it. But he trusted God. He knew that God could be trusted. And friend, I asked you tonight, do you believe that God can be trusted tonight? Can you really believe that God can be trusted? And if you believe that God can be trusted, then why do we worry? Why do we fret? Why do we put ourselves into so much torment and driven down in despair when God can be trusted? The challenge was clear here. There's no doubt about it. In verse number 2, take now thy son, thine only son whom thou lovest, get thee into the land of Moriah, offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains. That's clear. Moriah means the Lord will provide. And he believed God. And I believe, my friend, let me tell you, that mount in which he was sent, I believe it's the mount of Calvary. And I'll tell you why I believe that. Because if you look down in verse number 14, it says, and Abram called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord. It shall be seen. It was the mount of the Lord. And I believe the place that God directed this man to, he said, I want you to go into the land of Moriah. I want you to go to one of the mountains, but I'll tell you along the way. Listen, I'll tell you, just as you go with me, see, obedience. He had to obey God. And he went to the mount. In the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. And what was to happen in the mount, friend? Offer him there for a burnt offering. I tell you, he didn't take him to the mount just to view it. He didn't say, I want you to go on a journey and see the scenery. No, he says, you're going there for an offering. And friend, to be honest, when Abram was going to that mountain, what God was asking him to do was this, to give up his all. To surrender his hopes, his dreams, his future, his everything. God says, put it on the altar. Trust me. Is that what you're doing tonight? Is that what you honestly before God are doing? Are you putting all on the altar, friend? Every last thing. Because I believe all his hopes for the future and dreams and everything he had was in his son that he loved with all his heart. And all the promises of God were in his son. And God says, put him on the altar. And God knew how much he was asking, friend. I'll tell you why. Because God knew one day he would give his son. Whom he loved. And all his affections and all his purposes were centered in his son. And one day God would give him on that same mount to be our Savior. You see how much did he love him? Just for a moment, turn to John chapter 17. The high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you look at verse number 23? Chapter 17, it said, the last wee line of it, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Oh yes, the Father loved the Son. Look at verse 24. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Verse 26, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love which thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Over and over again, he emphasizes the Father's love. And yet one day, he'll send him to a cross. But notice secondly, not only the unsparing challenge, notice the unquestioned compliance. Verse 3. And Abram rose up early in the morning, and he saddled his ass, and he took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up. Went on to the place which God had told him. I want you to see this father, friend. And this is the day. This is the day that God says, put your son on the altar. I want you to see the father. He goes out into the yard. Or he goes out into the field and he gets the sticks and he claves them. He chops them up. And he bundles them together. And then he gets an ass and he gets his two servants. Then he calls his son. He says, Isaac, you're coming with me, son. Where are we going, Dad? Some are going on a journey. God's told me we've got to go there. And God's told me I've got to go to the Mount Moriah. Quite a distance, son. But we're going to worship God there. So having prepared the wood and gathered all the things together, friend, that he needed to worship God, he headed off with Isaac and his servants to the place of sacrifice. His heart was fixed that morning. Notice the Bible says, and Abram rose up early in the morning. His heart was fixed on obeying God, no matter what. No matter what the cost. His heart was breaking, I have no doubt. But he had to go through with God. He did it promptly. He did it deliberately. He did it willingly. Just as God did for you and me, friend. Because let me tell you, never forget what was in the heart of God. Man whom God had created sinned grievously against God, friend. And yet God devised a plan to pay the price of men's sin. And what was the plan? The death of his son upon the cross of Calvary. And it says, they went unto the place which God had told them. Now very quickly, notice verse 5. And Abram said unto the young men, that's when they got to the mountain, to the place, and God says, stop here and go yonder. And Abram said unto the young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Now you ask me, why did he say the men to wait away there so far away? I'll tell you why, friend. Because what took place on the Mount of Sacrifice was a transaction between the Father and the Son only. And that's important for what it speaks of. The two young men saw the old man take the wood and put it on the shoulder of Isaac. Yes, they saw that. But they did not see what transpired on the mountain between the Father and the Son. And that's what happened at Calvary. No eye could see what happened there and what was transacted at the cross of Calvary, what transpired on the cross, because the darkness surrounded the cross of Calvary. There were thieves on either side of Christ, friend, and neither of them saw what happened whenever the Father unleashed his sword and plunged it into the bosom of his own Son. It was darkness surrounded the cross. It was a divine transaction. But you know, as they went up that hill, notice what he said. I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Because Abram had faith that even though that he would slay Isaac, somehow, some way, God would keep his promise. In thy son, Isaac, the nations of the earth will be blessed. And friend, thank God, at the cross of Calvary. Whilst God gave his son, and there on the cross of Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ, he suffered all the hell for you and me that was due for our sins. But thank God, God knew the end of the story, that Jesus wouldn't stay on the cross, that Christ wouldn't stay in the tomb, but praise God, he would rise victorious out of the grave. The unquestioned compliance he went through with God. Then thirdly, the unparalleled commitment. Notice verse 6. Abram took the wood of the burnt offering, and he laid it upon his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. Now listen to me. Many people think that Isaac was a boy. Isaac was fully grown. It was believed that Isaac was 25 years of age. Therefore, his father was 125 years of age. Let me tell you, my friend, Isaac could easily have resisted what the father was doing. Isaac could say, "Father, I'm not going up that mountain. I'm not carrying that wood. You're going to tell me what's going to happen. I don't know what's happening there." He could have resisted his father's will. But notice, friend, look at verse 6, the last line. They went, both of them, together. He never resisted. No voice of protest. He acquiesced fully by carrying the wood on his shoulder. What about the Savior, friend? He carried his cross, the wood on his shoulder, to the place called Calvary. But friend, he carried a greater load than the wood. He carried our sins. And he bore the burden of our sin upon the cross of Calvary. They went, both of them, together. What does Amos say, chapter 3, verse 3? Can two walk together except they be agreed? Thank God, the purpose of the Father and the purpose of the Son was one. The Father planned it. Thank God, he planned salvation for you and me. The Son purchased it upon the cross of Calvary. And the Father took the fire, speaking and symbolizing the holiness of God, for God is a consuming fire. And the knife, speaking about the justice of God. And they're walking up the hill together. In verse 7, Isaac said to Abram, "My father." And he says, "Here am I, my son." He says, "Father, behold the fire and the wood. But where's the lamb?" You see, Isaac knew, friend, that a blood sacrifice was required to allow one to enter into God's presence in worship. He knew the lamb was missing. And he asked the question, "Where's the lamb?" And Abram said, "God will provide himself a lamb." And let me tell you, my friend, only God could supply the sufficient sacrifice for our sin. Nobody else. Only God. God will provide himself a lamb. Only God's lamb would satisfy divine justice. Nothing that you and I can provide will meet the requirements of God. And that's why it says in John 1:29, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Notice fourthly, very quickly, the unflinching consecration. It says verse 9, "And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abram built an altar there." Now it wasn't prepared by Isaac. It was prepared by Abraham. And let me tell you, friend, in the mind and the heart of God, way back in eternity, Jesus Christ was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. But notice what happened there. Not only did Abram build an altar, he laid the wood in order, and then he bound Isaac, his son, and he laid him on the altar upon the wood. First of all, Isaac submitted himself to the burden. He carried the wood. Now he submitted himself to be bound. 25 years of age. And Abram has finished setting the wood in order on the altar. And he reaches out his hand on his son. And he starts to bind him. Can you imagine what that was, friend? Could you imagine how Isaac must have felt? Whenever his father reached out and put those binds upon him. What are you doing, father? What are you doing, father? And then the father lifts up his son and he sets his son onto the altar. But then notice, unflinching consecration. Isaac never rebelled. Let me ask you a question. Have you rebelled against the will of God? What God has requested of you, the test that God's putting you through? Have you rebelled? Maybe there's someone here and you're fighting God. You're fighting the will of God. You're fighting against God. My friend, you can't fight against God and prosper. I remember a young man who got a little child and he had cancer. I remember going into the hospital, in the Royal Victoria Hospital. I remember going in through the door and the nurse happened to be from Macrofelt. And this young man was there and he had heard the news that day that he hadn't long to live. He'd got that final news. He's just a little girl, a little baby girl. And when I went there, the nurse said, "I'm sorry, Mr. McRae, he doesn't want to see anybody." And I was walking away and something stopped me. The Lord stopped me and said, "Listen, could you tell him that I'm here just in case?" Said, "No, he doesn't want to see family. He doesn't want to see anyone." I said, "Just please, tell him I'm here, and then I'll go." She says, "You know, he's broken. Since the doctor left him, he's cried all day." I was just about to go, and then the nurse came back out and said, "Mr. McRae, he wants to see you." I remember going in and sitting down beside my friend. I'll tell you who he was, friend. He was Richard Morrow. Godly young man that used to play the guitar for me in my musical evenings. I sat down beside Richard. The tears were running down his cheeks. And I asked him this question. I said, "Richard," after some time we talked, I said, "Richard, are you fighting God?" And then I told him experience in my own life. He said, "Yes, William, I'm fighting God." But that day God stepped into Richard's life, friend. And let me tell you, he saw his family that evening. He saw his wife that evening. He saw his child that evening. Because he laid down the arms of rebellion. He said, "God, thy will be done, not mine." You know what the will of God was, friend? God took him. God didn't heal him. Are you fighting God this evening? Something in your life, you're fighting God. Here was a lad,
And the father reaches out and he binds his own son. The Bible says he was brought as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before her shears is dumb, yet he opened not his mouth. For there in the Garden of Gethsemane he cried, not my will, but thine be done. Got to finish tonight. Look at the unerring change. The Bible tells us in verse 10, Abram stretched forth his hand and took a knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abram. And he says, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And he lifted up his eyes and he looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abram went and took the ram and he offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Listen, God provided a substitute for Isaac. You notice until the moment God said, look behind you, there's a ram, he never noticed the ram. I'll tell you why. Because he was willing to go through with God no matter what the cost for him. He wasn't looking for a substitute. He was trusting God to see him through. Are you trusting God to see you through, brother? Are you trusting God to see you through, sister? The trial, the trouble that you're facing? And the amazing thing was this. The provision was near and was easily obtained. You know, the amazing thought is this. As Abram and Isaac was going up the mountain on that side, unknown to them, the ram was going up the other side and got his horns caught in the thicket. It was there, arriving at the right place at the right time. But friend, as I finish, notice this. The ram had to be taken. The ram had to be taken. And so Christ has got to be received. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ has died upon the cross of Calvary. He has shed his precious blood. Thank God he has provided an eternal salvation for those that trust in him. But you must receive him. You must rest your soul. You must reach out the hand of faith as Abram reached out the hand of faith. And my friend, he took his son off the altar. He untied his son. And he took the ram and he put the ram and tied the ram and put the ram in its place and offered the ram as the burnt offering instead of his son. The ram became the burnt offering. The Lord Jesus Christ is your substitute. He died in your guilty room and in your stead. The thought about that. I see the Father as he puts the ram in its place. And then the Father takes the knife and draws the blood of the ram. And I see young Isaac as he stands there. And I see the tears running down his cheeks as he watched the lamb bleed to death. He died instead of me. And friend, that's the gospel. That's the good news. God has provided himself a lamb. And there upon the cross of Calvary, Jesus Christ took the sinner's place. And all the punishment that was due for my sin, thank God he not only bare my sin in his own body in the tree, but the punishment for my sin, he satisfied divine justice. He died that I might be forgiven. He died to make me good, that I might go at last to heaven, saved through his precious blood. He's a substitute lamb. But I asked you the final question. What will you do with him? What will you do with Jesus? Will you trust him? Will you rest your soul on what Christ did for you at the cross of Calvary? And will you by faith receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and claim him as your Lord? Make him Lord of your life. And rejoice. He died for me. May God give you grace to do so. For Jesus' sake, let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the glorious news of the gospel. There's a Savior, and his name is Jesus. We thank thee that he bare our sins and our sorrows. He made them his very own. He bore our burden to Calvary. And there he suffered and died alone. O God, we thank thee that Abram took the ram provided. O God, I pray in Jesus' name that the unconverted and unsaved in this meeting will take the Savior provided. For as many as receive him, to them give he power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name. As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, friend, will you walk away from Calvary's scene? Will you yield your heart and life to Jesus Christ and receive him and rest your soul upon what he did at the cross? Or will you just walk away and as if it never happened? As if he never died for thee. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come. Is there someone tonight in this meeting? And by faith you'll come to Christ and receive him as your Savior? And the meeting's over. But I beg you in God's name, don't go away without Christ. I'm here to help you. I'll be in the minister's room. Come and speak to me there. I'd gladly open the scriptures and show you from God's word how you can really be saved and know you're saved and be sure you're saved and ready for heaven. But don't walk away. Don't reject the Savior, friend. Because the Bible says the wicked shall be cast into hell and all nations that forget God. Lord, save tonight, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.